and a refund check. Uh-huh. It is to be used as a credit. It's not a refund directly per se. So again, I'm not a tax preparer, but it's really important that people understand, for example, if they max it out to the $10,000 or $12,000 worth of eligible home improvements, it's not necessarily they're getting a check back for $1,300. It's not a refund of any sorts. It's, you know, as you fill out the lines on what you owe and what you're getting back, it's simply used as a credit.
And as a matter of fact, basically what you're going to do is you're going to fill in a line. And this, we were just talking about this, joking about it off air. You fill out your tax return. You enter that, at, you know, on in box D or whatever whatever line, right? And then it says, you know, subtract this, subtract this. And it seems like, you know, nine times out of ten for me, it's always a negative or a zero in that bottom line. It's like, if the answer is a negative, you get zero.
True enough. So much depends on how much you've earned.
Exactly.
How much you've already contributed through your taxes, provincially, federally.
And, yeah, all of that stuff. So it is indeed a credit. However, it's still – it's one of those things, and we need to address this because there are still people who believe they can do the work themselves. Do they not have to have somebody qualified to do the work in order for this thing to actually take effect?
That's very important. I mean, even – they are allowed. I mean, you can go ahead and do the work yourself. However, you can only claim the portion of the materials.
Right.
You know, again, your lumber, your tiles, kitchen cabinets, whatever you're buying in materials. If you're going to pay anybody to install it, again, and you want to be able to claim both the labor and the materials – it has to be someone licensed. You know, if it's electrical work, an electrician licensed provincially with the ESA, or if it's other work, a general contractor or a tradesperson, again, you have to be dealing at an arm's length with them. You know, you can't have, as we've joked before, a dance instructor come install your windows. I like that one. It's comical. I mean, again, it has to make sense. The government, they're being smart about this. I mean, we always want to keep the underground economy down. We don't want this to turn into a big rush for the cash tradespeople, for, you know, everybody coming in and doing this work and the homeowners trying to make a receipt out of it. It's really important.
Right. But it could apply, all depending on how big the job is, it might apply to just your materials.
Exactly.
But don't be fooled. That doesn't mean that your materials can be introduced to your home by just anybody. Again, we go back to the fact that, a dance instructor / windows.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be somebody qualified.
Or the homeowner themselves.
Right.
Again, but they can't claim their own labor.
Right.
You know, they can buy the materials, they can retile their floor, they can change a toilet, keep track of all the materials.
Probably get in a little trouble when you start doing electrical stuff, though.
Well, yeah, electrical. I mean, technically electrical, you can do if it's your own home.
Mm-hmm.
You can do electrical work. You have to pull a permit.
I've always found that fascinating.
Well, it's interesting, but what the homeowners don't understand is, I believe, and again, I'm not exact with the cost, but let's say it's a figure of anywhere from $70 to $100 for the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So the inspector will come from the ESA. Now, he's going to be even more critical of you, knowing you're not an electrician. You know, you're a homeowner, but that's fine. There's books. There's information. So he's going to look at the wiring you've run. If it doesn't pass, he's not going to teach you or show you how to do it. Out the door, goodbye, call us when you're ready.
Right.
So each and every time subsequently, you're going to have to pay that $70 to $100 fee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending how many times you've paid it, it may have ended up more affordable having contractor and electrician come in.
Right.
So for something like that, again, you are allowed to pull your own permit, but you've got to pass inspection. They're going to be very critical. They're going to check everything. How many inches from the electrical box out have you put a staple in? And they're not going to let you do the minor repairs while they wait there. They'll come back again and you pay the fee again.
Right. And electricians, from my experience at least, are a little bit more expensive than a general contractor. You would, as a general contractor, you'd bring in someone with papers, as we like to say, quote unquote, with papers.
Exactly.
Qualified to do electrical work, and their hourly rate can be a little bit more expensive. Well, however, when it comes to that, you save all those, the inspector coming to see it every time, because you've got somebody qualified with papers who does this for a living.
Exactly. Well, my electrician, he's registered through the ESA to the extent where not every one of his jobs have to be inspected. It's a ratio. It's per se, two out of every 12 have to be inspected because he's ESA registered. Now, because of the relationship that I have with him or any of my sub-trades, I'm giving him a lot of work throughout the year. Now, I get a discount. And I almost always pass this discount on to the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost never an instance where I'm coming in just to do electrical work. They may want other work, painting, decorating, tiling. So because I'm there doing other work.
Well, it's always a combination of stuff.
Yeah. I can pass on my discount.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, I mean, if they call the electrician directly, how many times is he going to come there and do work for them? It's not a steady basis.
Right.
So he's going to charge them full price, whereas I get a discount because, I mean, I'm keeping them employed. I'm giving them work time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can pass that discount along. So more than often, they're going to save by having it done through me as per se contacting the electrician directly. And, of course, I bring the vacuum. You know, though the electrical is not part of my business, as far as the drop sheets, laying out the mats, vacuuming afterwards.
You clean up after him?
Well, sometimes. I mean, you know, but he's a busy fellow. But I mean, we developed the relationship where I'm there. I mean, that's another reason why sometimes I am afforded that discount is because I'll have the drop sheets out. I've done the paperwork. I've gone over it with him. And he can get on his way and do another job for me, maybe the same day, or get on and do his own work.
Right. You're finishing a basement. You're putting a room downstairs in someone's house. They want to have some kind of a rumpus room for their kids in the basement. Rumpus, I don't think anybody uses that word anymore. Wow, that's really 50s, John. In any case, so they put a room downstairs. You got to put walls in. You can do the walls, but then someone has to put the plumbing and the electrical behind those walls.
Exactly.
And you bring the experts to do that.
Typical basement, for example, I can book, and I've done complete basements. I myself will do the framing. I'll do the insulating. I'll do the drywalling. I'll do the flooring. But again, in the proper order. Once I've got it framed out, my electrician will come in. He'll run the appropriate wires. ESA will come in, or they'll sign off just through his fax. They'll look it over. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll insulate. I'll take it to the drywalling stage. Actually, we jump back a stage. I'll run the bell
right, with
the proper amount of outlets. We've designed it nicely. Run coaxial, you know, for cable.
Right.
If it's going to be simply working from the rough in on, within my license requirements, I can do the copper work and the ABS work and the plumbing. If we're changing the rough in, I contact my sewer specialist. Mm-hmm. Again, he's subcontracted. He'll come in. He'll help. I'll break out the concrete for him. But anything below the ground, he'll pull a permit for, run the proper plumbing, put in drop ceilings. Depends. But again, it's all encompassed with having everybody working together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Very
Absolutely.
Important.
Repair, rebuild, renovate. That's what your triple R stands for, right?
Yes.
Triple R Inc. Contracting.ca is the website.
Yes.
One of the things that we want to talk about today, and, you know, he could be stuck in traffic, is a book that you put together with Trevor Bouchard. Let's talk a little bit about the book.
I'm very excited about the book, and I do have to thank the good people at CTV South Central Ontario. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'll be bringing you the footage soon enough. On April 14th, it was a Tuesday, Trevor and I were both invited on the CTV, and it was very exciting. I mean, the media kept getting behind us on this because it really is all up to the media to get information out about the book. They had us on to do a segment, a little interview about us and about the book, and it was terrific. I mean, getting the information out, nothing is more important. There are people waiting anywhere from 2 to 5 years to get the required funding. Again, low-income families, people that are elderly, people that are on the applicant waiting list. The more books we can sell, all the funding is going to March of Dimes Canada.
Right.
So we're going to get these people now, on average, for example, instead of waiting 2 to 5 years, they may get their funding within 1 to 2 years. And they can get the ball rolling, whether it's a wheelchair lift, doesn't matter what it is. So, I mean, that's as far as the funding. Mm-hmm. Before the average homeowner, it really is a self-help book. Reading the book.
Right.
My goal and my guarantee to anybody is you read the book and you will avoid a renovation gone wrong. That's
Excellent.
As clear and simple as it is.
And for those who didn't get to see it on CTV, you can hear about it here. How many people at CTV were asking you for advice and help?
Quite a few. I mean, everybody typically, you know, when they know we've authored the book, they'll want some inside information. And again, whether I've got to direct them to call in here or call or email us at the website, it's all about information.
And the website, by the way, is you can find it, do a search through lulu.com. A Contractor You Can Bring Home to Mom is the name of the book. And Trevor Bouchard has joined us along with Bobby Asadorian today. By the way, you can download it for $11.20, or you can get the paperback at $18.40. I've got it up here on lulu.com.
Oh, and you can also preview it. I believe the first 7 or 8 pages, a little bit about the authors, a little bit of information from the first paragraph or two.
Excellent.
You know, we thought that would be important that people get a little bit of a preview online as well.
You got lots of your stars there. Stars in your average customer rating looks pretty good.
Thank you.
Got a good customer rating there. Trevor, welcome to the show. Thanks for getting here.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, I'm a little bit late.
No problem. Just pull yourself right up to that microphone so you're nice and close. So tell me about the relationship with this guy. How did you meet up with Bob?
Perfect. Well, I was actually given Bobby's name from a referral, and we met for a pretty lengthy meeting, about 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
At the end of it, we looked at getting Bobby on our network.
Okay. Now, when it came to writing the book, how much help was this guy here, Bob?
Phenomenal amount of help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the book has been on my mind for probably 10, 15 years.
Right.
You know, you learn, you live, you grow, you go through experiences, but it's so important to have help, to have a co-author.
Right.
I mentioned this to Trevor. Basically, during a meeting, I asked him what his thoughts would be about co-authoring a book with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the same mindset. He had something he'd been thinking about for a long time as well. That's when we teamed up. And probably fair to say, Trevor, about a year, a little over a year it took us.
Yeah, about a year in development time from just talking about it to actually getting it published.
It's not something you do over the weekend.
No, that's right. So now March of Dimes.
Yes.
How did March of Dimes come into being?
That was originally Trevor's been involved with March of Dimes for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'll let him get into that.
Yeah.
Originally, we started working with the March of Dimes doing a charity golf tournament. And from there, we moved on to doing a charity poker tournament. And we've done a few other initiatives with them as well. So they specialize in barrier-free renovations. So they seem like the likely candidates when we were trying to find a synergy partner for the home renovation book.
Okay. And so was it a suggestion that you made to Bob, or was Bob already on side on this? Or
Bob had been involved in an earlier project we had done in Guelph with the March of Dimes,
right,
and renovating a family's home. So that being said, Bob had already had some knowledge of the March of Dimes, and it was a pretty easy transition.
Do you guys butt heads on anything?
No.
Everything went smoothly?
No, honestly, even way before the book, probably about two and a half years now, I've been a member of Trevor's organization. And again, I know we didn't get into this too much, but it's really important to mention Trevor's the president and owner, president and CEO of QuickContractors.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quality assurance group. Now, as a general contractor, it's very important to me to have memberships, as many as possible, to get involved in things. Now, when I met Trevor at that time, it was a four-hour meeting. I probably drove him crazy at that time. I mean, I'm full of questions. I wanted to know everything there was to know about QuickContractors.com.
Not you.
Yes, me. After looking at their media page, I mean, it's grown a lot since then. At that point, they were featured on on Breakfast Television.
Right.
Again, we talked at that point, and basically, I pay him an annual fee. I'm a member of QuickContractors.com. I'm QCVC certified, which is a qualification that Trevor makes sure that all of his director member contractors have been vetted and screened. Qualifications, licensing, a lot of what we talked about here on previous shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the meeting. I joined, and it's very important to know that this is an absolutely free service for homeowners. They can contact Trevor at or visit his online directory. His goal is to put them right in front of up to three contractors that are pre-screened and vetted. They will meet the homeowner, give them quotes, and then it's up to the homeowner and the contractor to work out what work they're going to do. So, I mean, the relationship has been for years. And then deciding to write the book, I couldn't have picked a better partner.
So, Trevor, what was your inspiration for starting Quick Contracting?
Actually, I was a local student here at McMaster University, and I got involved in, I'm sure you're familiar with, College Pro Action Window Cleaning, the franchise system.
Yep.
So I was a student running a franchise in the area, and I took out an ad in a local newspaper. And as a result, I didn't really get the feedback that I was looking for in terms of responses. And I thought there must be a better way to kind of approach this and have a median for or an outlet for contractors to advertise.
How crazy does it drive you? Because I know it drives Bob a little crazy. How crazy does it drive you that there are so many people that are out there unqualified doing the kind of work that people like Bob are trying to do for a living?
Well, I think it just, sullies the name of the industry. Everybody has a perception of what a contractor is, and I think a lot of that is derived from some of the people that aren't qualified or licensed in the industry. So, it kind of drives me a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm. Not unlike the fine people who sell used cars. You know, there's that stigma attached to being a used car sale. I know lots of great used car salesmen. Don't use that as the analogy.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break and come back with more. This is Experts On Call, Just Ask Bob. The authors of the book, A Contractor You Can Bring Home to Mom, are here, Trevor Bouchard and Bobby Asadorian. We're back with more next on Hamilton's All-New Talk Station, Talk 820. We're back with Bobby Asadorian and Trevor Bouchard, who are the co-authors of a book called A Contractor You Can Bring Home to Mom. And you can find it on Lulu.com. You can actually get a link to it from Talk 820 as well, under the Experts On Call for the Friday's show, the every other Friday show that we have with Bob from Just Ask Bob. But let's talk a little bit about more in detail about some of the things you can find in the book. What was your favorite chapter to put together?
My favorite chapter would have been or is how do you pay your contractor? There's a lot of choices. I mean, you can pay your contractor a contract price, mm-hmm, which is what I prefer. You can pay your contractor by the hour.
Some would joke through the nose.
Yes. You can pay your contractor in cash. I mean, I don't know, in the olden days, you can barter. You can pay him through dinners.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to pay your contractor. Let's touch on for a moment the difference between paying them by the hour.
That's a lot of dinners.
Definitely. Well, you see, if you're choosing between paying them by the hour or paying them a contract price.
Right.
Now, a contract price, at least, it's done. You know how much it's going to cost. Now, I mean, any good contractor will have a stipulation for about unforeseen circumstances. As we've talked so much about older homes in Hamilton, mm-hmm. you don't know what you're going to find in the walls. But again, a reputable contractor will never tack a penny on beyond what's on the contract price without sitting down with you. But again, you have options. He'll sit with you. He'll tell you what he's found in the wall. And you don't even have to hire him to do the extras. You know, it's open at that point. You can bring in somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, more than often, the contract price, in over 90% of the cases, that's what you're going to pay. Now, a homeowner, sometimes they find it's better to pay your contractor by the hour. Now, paying them by the hour, again, there's a lot of problems going to result from this. For example, when does he start clocking the hour? From when his alarm clock goes off? Is his lunch break included in it? If you break a reciprocating or sawzall blade, now he's got to run out to the big box store.
Is he driving to your house from another city?
Oh, exactly. So, I mean, things happen all the time. I'll wear out a tool. I'll break a bit. I mean, it's a contract price. Right. I'll have stock with me. I've run out many, many times to pick up extra material. Something's mm-hmm. warped. Something doesn't work right. Defective faucet. It's in the contract price. You know, I had a lady kid me one time about a toilet repair, a toilet installation. It was a contract price, and you know, she seemed a little hesitant when it came to paying, and she thought that maybe the price would be reduced because she was astounded at how quickly I did the work. Now, mind you, quickly, efficiently, very neat. Now, I explained to her it could have went the other way. Mm-hmm. The toilet's china, it's porcelain. What if I would have cracked the toilet? It's on me. What if I took twice as long? What if there was a strip bolt? What if I could not get the job done and it took me days longer? Mm-hmm. It's still the same price. Now, you know, looking at the other side of the coin, what if I, worked quickly, efficiently, there were no unforeseen circumstances? Again, it's still the same price. But at least you're afforded, you know, you're knowing this going into it. Paying by the hour, you know, there's too many variables. There's too many. And then what if they ask for a raise halfway through? I mean, realistically, and I've only found, honestly, I wouldn't say 5 or 10%, not even 5% of real licensed contractors operate that way. The majority, I would have to say, would be the fly-by-nights. You know, most often they don't have a GST number because, you know, you're billing by the hour and then you're going to add GST to it. Plus, who supplies the materials? Every case I've ever heard of, paid by the hour, homeowner supplies everything. Now, the homeowner then has to research it. They have to warranty it. A contractor's not going to warranty what he's not purchasing.
Right.
So if it's a defective faucet or toilet, you've got to call him back again. And then there must be a minimum. I mean, if it takes him 15 minutes to do it, but an hour to drive there, an hour to drive back, it's not the professional thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I've actually stated on the show before, but I had one of those.
We talked about it. Yeah, please tell the story.
One of those guys who actually had one of the people on his crew, mm-hmm. he said with quotations, Mark, was the guy to go get the parts. Mm-hmm. And he wanted the same hourly rate for the people who were doing the work on my house as the guy driving back and forth to get the parts.
The driver.
It's like, yeah. You're kidding me. I'm paying him the same rate that I'm paying the guy who's putting the wall up. That somehow doesn't make sense
to me. How do
you
log it? See, a homeowner should be a customer. Now the homeowner is becoming the supervisor and the general contractor.
Right.
You have to watch the hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you just disappear to work and back? There's too many unforeseen variables doing that.
And in a lot of cases, everybody has to go to work. You know, if it's a, you know, both people in the family work, if it's a husband and wife and they both work and you're not there to watch them through the day, you don't know if they're there or not, or if they're, or, you know, over getting a coffee at Timmy's or what they're doing, right?
Exactly.
You have no record of it.
Exactly.
So yeah, like you say, it's a different kind of thing when you sign a contract that says, here's your estimate. And everybody has seen homes on homes.
Yes.
And knows that when you rip open a wall, there are variables.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully,
especially in Hamilton.
Hopefully not the nightmare variables that he shows on most of his shows, or they wouldn't be shows to begin with. He wouldn't make shows out of really ordinary circumstances because that, you know, no one would want to watch. He makes the ones out of the real special cases. And that's what makes for that kind of television. But yeah, and how many times would you say out of 10? And now let's keep Hamilton out of it. Let's say every community that you work in. How many times out of 10 are there special circumstances once you pop open that wall?
I would say less than one or two.
Okay.
It's not often. Again, it's not often because, but again, you have to.
But that probably goes up to three or four once you talk about Old Hamilton.
Oh, no. Old Hamilton, it could go up to five or six easily. But a contractor should also be judged on his experience.
Right.
If he anticipates, for example, roofs. Many roofs that we do, I mean, it's disclosed right off the bat. I tell a homeowner, here's your contract price for the roof. However, X amount of dollars per 4x8 sheet of plywood installed. I don't have X-ray vision. I don't know what condition. Older Hamilton homes, amazing. The sheathing, we've stripped roofs on homes as old as 100 years old. We haven't had to put down a square inch of plywood. We've done homes within 15 to 20 years old. You know, the builder's 3/8. Mm-hmm. We've got to resheathe the whole roof.
Right.
Now, you don't know. However, you know enough to know you don't know.
Right.
You price it in the quote, X amount of dollars per sheet. And then when it's opened up, at least the homeowner has been forewarned. They have an idea something's going to come up.
Should be the name of your second book. You know enough to know you don't know. I like that one. I'm going to keep that one.
It's important.
Trevor, thanks for being here. Sorry we didn't get a chance to talk to you more. If you had a favorite chapter in 10 words or less, what's your favorite chapter in that book?
I'd say education versus experience.
Okay.
Definitely like to see contractors get a little more respect for what they do.
We'll be back again with Just Ask Bob. Thanks for being here, guys. We're on Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820. News is next.